Father, we rejoice to be able to come before you today. Lord, you've given us so many blessings. Lord, you've given us freedom to gather this way. And we just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. We know that you are here. Your word promises it, Lord. And we desire, Lord, to hear you. Pray that we would listen to that still small voice, Lord, that you would show us your ways and you would help us, Lord, to hear your voice and to joyfully obey. Help us to be obedient children, Lord, and to look to you as our Father with joy and with peace and trusting love. We thank you for Christ who has made it all possible. And we just ask that you would bless this service today in Jesus' name. You know, some of the thoughts that I have had here the last week or so, I think maybe some of these songs that we have sang this morning can almost express it better than some of the notes that I've written down. So I actually want to just read some of the verses of the songs we've sang. I'm going to start. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. I'm not going to read them all. In Psalm 26 this morning, verses 3 through 5 says, "'Tis He forgives thy sins. "'Tis He relieves thy pain. "'Tis He that heals thy sicknesses "'and gives thee strength again. "'He crowns thy life with love "'when rescued from the grave. "'He that redeemed my soul from death "'hath boundless power to save. "'He fills the poor with good. "'He gives the sufferers rest. "'The Lord hath justice for the proud "'and mercy for the oppressed. "'Our Father is perfect.'" In number 27, in verse 2 and third and fourth lines, "He is our guide and friend. His love shall never end. The God of all the universe, the one who's created all things, is our guide and friend. We can safely trust in him." Number 572, in verse 2, "Thy love, how cheering is its ray, all pain before its presence flies. Care, anguish, sorrow melt away, where'er its healing beams arise." What would we be willing to trade for the love of God? I pray it's nothing. Number 251, you can read the first three verses. "Jesus Christ is risen today, our triumphant holy day, who did once upon the cross suffer to redeem our loss. Hymns of praise then let us sing unto Christ our heavenly King, who endured the cross and grave, sinners to redeem and save. But the pains which he endured, our salvation have procured. Now above the sky he's King, where the angels ever sing." Why did God do that? He would not have had to. His love is amazing. If we really ponder it. I've been thinking of the different aspects of God as our Father, how perfect he is, some of his attributes, and just thinking of even me as a father and my children, us as fathers, our children, and our relationships and how that all works and the lessons we can draw from some of that. I just have a few thoughts. Let's first turn to Matthew 5:38. Familiar passage to us. I'm going to read down to verse 48 then. "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, go and take away thy coat, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So after Jesus went down and did some of this teaching, and there was others before that, I know. But here he's talking about returning good for evil, loving our enemies, and he says, This is one of the aspects of God that makes him perfect. God is like that. Am I like that? If we want to be his children, we need to be like that. If that does not explain my life, I cannot claim to be one of God's children, because Jesus said, you need to do this that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And when he says to love our enemies, how much more our brother? You know, in Luke chapter 6, it's a different sermon, I believe, but he illustrates these same principles in a little different way. And at the end, he says, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Our Father is extremely merciful. You consider all the sin in the world that really rightfully deserves judgment. And God permits men to live on, giving them a chance for repentance. His mercy is so great. Matthew 6, verse 31. Our Father cares for us and provides for us. He cares very deeply about our needs. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need not worry. We can trust God. I heard someone preaching recently, and he said, you know, worry is sin. It denies the love of God. It says that God doesn't care. If I'm worrying about things, do I really believe that God cares? It denies the wisdom of God because it says God doesn't know what he's doing. If I believed he did, I wouldn't be worrying about it. It denies the power of God and says, God is not able to deliver me from whatever it is I am worrying about. God is good. We can safely trust in him and turn all things into his care and seek to benefit his kingdom. Our Father hears us and answers our prayers. And I just want to take a minute to thank you who sent out that text and asking for prayers for our son Samuel. And I believe God answered that prayer. And I just thank you, each one of you that prayed. It seems like maybe some of our children have the tendency to be affected by the croup cough, and we've experienced that sometimes for more than a week on end. But for Samuel, it lasted one night, and it was gone. He still has a cough, but the croup's gone. So I just thank you all. I really believe that God answered those prayers. And in Matthew 7, illustrates this just a little bit, starting in verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom his son, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? And in Mark 11, you don't need to turn there, it's just one verse. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire
When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. You know, I had an experience this week, and I think maybe I want to read a verse here before I say that. It's in 1 John 3. Verse 20. And it's really the last phrase of the verse that I want to focus on. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knows all things. He knows the words we speak, what we do, our thoughts, and our motives of everybody on the face of the earth better than I know them myself, better than I know my own. And there was a circumstance this week that it was a challenge for me, and I felt that I was falsely accused. And this person felt confident, I think, in the way that they were looking at it, and I felt confident in the way that I was looking at it. And that was hard to accept because I didn't feel that the person was correct. And it kind of hurt. But, you know, and whether or not that was the case, whether or not I really knew my heart in that, I want to leave that in God's hands and search my heart. But that's not the point. The point I took away from that is you had that circumstance, but then I thought, how many times have I been confident that someone was in the wrong, that this person had this certain motive? I just knew it. And maybe that wasn't the case. And knowing what it felt like to be on the receiving end of that, I want to make sure that I'm very careful of that. And I want to apologize if I've ever done that to any of you brothers or sisters. I don't want to be that way. But that never happens with God. He has all the facts. He knows every circumstance. He knows all of our motives. You cannot hide the truth from God because He is truth. And when He makes a judgment, it is pure and it is holy and it is right. Our Father is light. In 1 John 1:5, we read, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." God's integrity is complete and perfect. His words and His works always have a perfect match. And is that truly the case in my life? You don't have to think of the prodigal son, and I'm not going to read the entire account, but it illustrates very well the heart and nature of God. And you have this son, both sons really in a way, despised their father's goodness, did not really fully understand his heart. But when the younger son repented, the beauty of the father's heart to receive him and to bless him, it humbles me. And I just pray that we can learn from that, that I can learn from that, and have more of a humble and broken and repentant spirit as I go through life. You know, our children, we think of some of these qualities. If they have a father like that, would they, when their father would ask them to do something, would they immediately obey? Would they delight to obey? Or would they maybe continue playing with the things that they were playing with? At least I've experienced that. And many times I want to point the finger at my child and say, you know, hey, get with the program. You know, you're going to get in trouble if you don't do what I say. And there's a time for that. I don't want to minimize that. But the point I'm trying to make is, if children have a godly father, a father that is like God,
there will be much more peace in the home, I believe. There will be much more of a willingness and a delight to do the will of the Father. They will delight to please Him. They will want to please Him because they know their Father loves them, cares for them, and wants to provide good things for them and bless them. How do I respond to God? You know, many times I can think about we talk about the cares and concerns of this life, and I'm so busy, and it's wearing on me, and am I maybe a little bit like that child who maybe is more concerned about the things that he's playing with than what God has asked me to do? I don't know. God give us wisdom to learn to truly deny ourselves and seek the things that are pleasing to Him first, and truly desire to please Him in all of life. So what is our responsibility in responding to a Father as perfect and good as what we have? I just want to read quickly here in closing a passage from 1 John and then in the Psalms. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And Psalm 40, verse 8, I just want to close with that. And I pray that this would be our heart today, and as we go out and in this coming week. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. God bless you all.